وقل رب زدني علما.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد. We have the class of hadith from كتاب بلوغ المرام إن شاء الله للحافظ رحمه الله تعالى، كتاب الجنائز. Still in the book of funerals. Inshallah, we're starting from hadith number 465. وعن أبي إسحاق أن عبد الله بن أبي يزيد رضي الله تعالى عنه وعن أبي إسحاق أن عبد الله بن يزيد رضي الله تعالى عنه أدخل الميت من قبل رجلي القبر وقال هذا من السنة، أخرجه أبو داود. 465. نارد أبو إسحاق from عبد الله بن يزيد، may Allah be pleased with him. He put the dead body in the grave from the side where his legs will be placed in it. He said, this is the sunnah. The Sahabi Abdullah ibn Yazid put the dead body in the grave from the side where his legs will be placed in it. And he said, this is the sunnah. So the hadith indicates that when the dead body is being placed in the grave to make him enter from the leg side, not from the hair side. Next hadith, عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: إذا وضعتم موتاكم في القبور فقولوا بسم الله وعلى ملة رسول الله، أخرجه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي وصحابة بن حبان وعله الدارقطني بالوقف. خانة بوائل، ممكن تبحث لنا حكم هذا الحديث؟ إذا وضعتم موتاكم في القبور فقولوا بسم الله وعلى ملة رسول الله، ما حكمه؟ جزاك الله خير. نارد ابن عمر رضي الله عنه، the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when you place your dead in the grave, say in the name of Allah and following the religion of Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. Reported by Ahmad, أبو داود، النسائي، ابن حبان، قريت صحيح، أن الدارقطني termed it as موقوف، meaning saying of a companion. So in this hadith, which Imam الدارقطني says is the statement of the Sahabi ابن عمر رضي الله عنه، but some علماء like ابن حبان قريت it صحيح as مرفوع. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إذا وضعتم موتاكم في القبور فقولوا بسم الله وعلى ملة رسول الله. أي إذا أردتم. When you place your dead, when you are about to place your dead in the grave, say in the name of Allah and following the religion of Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. من القائل؟ شيخ الألباني. نريد حكم شيخ الألباني إن شاء الله، هو يجمع أطراف الحديث، جزاه الله خيرا، صاحب التحقيق. وعن عائشة، أحسنتم، عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: كسر عظم الميت ككسره حيا، رواه أبو داود بإسناد على شرط مسلم. وزاد ابن ماجه من حديث أم سلمة في الإثم. نار عائشة رضي الله عنها، الله's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, breaking breaking a dead person's bad bone. Breaking a dead person's bone is like breaking it when he's alive. Breaking a dead person's bone is like breaking it when he is alive. Reported by Abu Dawood through a chain of narrators confirming with that condition laid down by Muslim. Ibn Majah had the addition from the hadith of Umm Salama radiallahu anha as regard to the sin. In this hadith, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that breaking the bone of the dead is like breaking his bone in his lifetime. This shows to respect the dead as should be respected alive. The next hadith حديث 468 وعن سعيد بن أبي وعن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال ألحدوا لي لحدا وانصبوا علي اللبن نصبا كما صنع برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه مسلم وعن سعد بن أبي وقاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال ألحدوا لي لحدا وانصبوا علي اللبن نصبا كما صنع برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رواه مسلم وللبيهقي عن جابر رضي الله عنه نحوه وزاد ورفع قبره عن الأرض قدر شبر ورفع قبره عن الأرض قدر شبر وصححه ابن حبان ولمسلم عنه نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يجصص القبر وأن يقعد عليه وأن يبنى عليه نعم أبوائل طيب أحسن تبارك الله فيك so Sheikh Al-Albani authenticated that hadith that when the dead Muslim is being placed in the grave to say Bismillah, to start with Bismillah, wa ala millati Rasul, and upon the religion of the Messenger of Allah. Yes. Some people, they say a lot of things, reading, sometimes arguing, sometimes have other things to say, like Allahu Akbar or something like that. So nothing of that. The hadith shows. The hadith shows to say Bismillah wa ala millati Rasulillah. And that's sufficient. What the Prophet ﷺ did is more than enough. It's enough. In this hadith, hadith 468, narrated Sa'd ibn Waqas, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, make a niche for me in the side of the grave and set up unbaked bricks over me, means my grave, as it was done with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Reported by Muslim. Al-Bayhaqi reported something similar to the above on the authority of Jabir and added, and his grave was raised about one span from the ground. And his grave was raised about one span from the ground. Ibn Hibam Gariri is sahih. In his authentic narrative, Jabir radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade grave is to be plastered with gypsum. Am I saying right? To be set upon or any structure to be built over them. Reported by Muslim. Naam. Gypsum. Am I saying right? GYPSUM. In this hadith, the Sahabi Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, he tell the people how he should be placed in the grave, how the grave should be dig, which is to make a lahd. To make a lahd. The graves are made in two ways, al-lahd and al-shaq. He said here, this hadith carries an evidence that the grave prepared for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was lahd. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam differ in their opinion whether the grave should be a lahd or shiq. There were two undertakers, meaning grave diggers, in Al-Madina those days. One specializing in digging lahd and the other one specializing in digging shiq. It was agreed among the companion of the Prophet ﷺ that whosoever, means upon from the grave diggers, come first should start his work. Hence, the one specializing in digging the lahd come first and prepare the grave accordingly. So both ways is permissible. When the grave is made, then there is a lahd, which means to make another grave at the bottom of the grave, but to the direction of the Qibla. So the dead can be put inside that small grave, which is to the direction of the Qibla. And then his face to the Qibla. And the other one is the grave, when it's digged like the other one, in the middle, to make the split, to make the shaq. So the person is put his place inside. So this is two ways. Either two ways is permissible. It used to be done at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhu did for the Messenger ﷺ al-lahd. Sometimes lahd can't be made because of the nature of the sand. Yes, it's never be easy. Whenever they make it, it breaks down because the sand is not sticking. So in that case, then the shaq. Naam. And also in this hadith, the Sahabi, Sa'd ibn Waqas radiallahu anhu, his grave was raised about one span from the ground. About one span from the ground. Yes, that is one span. The ulama, they say the reason is to be known here there is a grave. Also, in case the water comes, it goes to the sides of the grave, not on the top of the grave. Then the water set on the grave and go down to the bed. Also in the hadith, the Messenger ﷺ, he forbade to make, he ﷺ forbade graves to be plastered with this word? Gypsum. What's gypsum? Gyps, okay, yes, to cover, to use it to sand the walls and the like. Also, he forbade ﷺ to sit on the grave. Also, he ﷺ forbade to build the graves. All these things is being done by some ignorant Muslims. They building a grave. You think this grave is a house, is a masjid. Big building on the grave. And the Prophet ﷺ, he sent Ali radiallahu anhu, أَلَّا تَدْعَ قَبْرًا مُشْرِفًا إِلَّا سَوَيْتَهُ وَلَا صُورَةً إِلَّا طَمَسْتَهَا. Never ever come to a grave which is higher. Meaning higher than the other graves, has a specialties, or higher than the earth, than the limit which is allowed, make it even. Don't leave that grave. This is the command Prophet ﷺ gave to Sahabi Ali radiallahu anhu. Whenever you come to a grave above the ground, more than that, or a grave which has a specialty, like some graves, they put some other stuff, they build some way, certain way, they make trees, they do flower, they do something, making the grave different than the other grave. Make it like the rest of the graves. Prophet ﷺ said this command to be fulfilled for the one who has authority. The one who has authority is mandatory on him to do. Also a picture to erase, to eliminate it. That's the origin. Then the Sahib, the Shaykh Imam Ibn Hajar, he said, وعن عامر ابن ربيعة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى على عثمان بن مضعون وأتى القبر وحثى عليه ثلاث حثيات وهو قائم رواه الدارقطني. Narrated Amir ibn Rabi'a radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ prayed on the body of Uthman ibn Mat'un, then went to his grave and threw three handfuls of earth over it while standing. And he ﷺ went to his grave, the grave of Uthman ibn Mat'un radiallahu anhu, and threw three handfuls of earth over it while standing. So in the hadith, praying janaza on the dead Muslim, also going to the grave and participating, burying, even at least three handfuls thrown to the grave. وعن عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا فرغ من دفن الميت وقف عليه وقال استغفروا لأخيكم واسألوا له التثبيت فإنه الآن يسأل رواه أبو داود وصححه الحاكم. Hadith 407, narrated Uthman ibn Affan, may Allah be pleased with him. When Allah, his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, finished burying the dead, he stood up by the grave and said, ask forgiveness for your brother and ask that he be made firm, for he is now being questioned. Abu Dawud reported it, and Al-Hakim, greatly sahih, means authentic. In this hadith, after burying, completing the burial of the dead, the Prophet ﷺ used to stood, not sitting, by the grave. And he used to say to his Sahaba, these three statements, استغفروا لأخيكم, ask forgiveness for your brother. If he's female, for your sister. واسألوا له التثبيت, and ask Allah for this التثبيت, firmness. يثبت الله الذين آمنوا بالقول الثابت. The angel will ask questions, three questions. They will ask Allah to make him firm upon answering, because that's in a state of fear. And when somebody in a state of fear, he may not be stable. He may not be mentally, he may not be stable to answer questions because of the situation of fear and scaring. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him firm to answer the question. Why? فَإِنَّهُ الْآنَ يُسْأَلُ. He is indeed being questioned right now. He is being questioned right now. So this is the best dua. Not reciting Yasin or reciting Quran on it. Don't say the Quran is a speech of Allah. Yes, Quran is speech of Allah. But recite it the way Prophet ﷺ recited it. Use it the way he used it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can we say Quran is a speech of Allah based on that we recite Surah Al-Baqarah in sujood? No. Because Prophet ﷺ, he forbade to recite Quran in the sujood. That's not allowed. How about if you said Salat Isha prayer is Iqama is made? You say I'm busy with reciting Surah Al-Baqarah. Will that be accepted? No, that time is not time of reciting Quran. That time is time of this Salah. So the ulama, they say Ash-Shay'u al-Mafdul qad yakunu fadilan. Yeah. Something which was first was mafdul, something else was, had more virtue, had more superiority, it may be more superior in certain situations. Naam. You cannot say, since the Quran is a speech of Allah, whenever I'm entering salah, instead of saying Allahu Akbar, I recite Qul Wallahu Ahad, instead of Allahu Akbar. And in sujood ruku', I recite Idha Ja'a Nasrullah wal Fatah. And when I raise, instead of saying Sami'a Allahu Liman Hamida, I recite Surah Al-Baqarah. Will that be accepted? La, abadan. This is innovation. Don't confuse yourself and say, oh, this is the speech of Allah. Speech of Allah, really, the right way, the recite the correct way in the correct time. So this is the best dua. Istaghfiru li akhikum. Ask Allah to forgive your brother. Was'alu lahu at-tathbit. Was'alu lahu at-tathbit. And ask Allah for him to give him firmness. Why? فَإِنَّهُ الْآنَ يُسْأَلُ. He is being questioned at this moment. رواه أبو داود وصححه الحاكم. وعن ضمرة بن حبيب أحد التابعين قال كانوا يستحبون إذا سووا إذا سوي على الميت قبره وانصرف الناس عنه أن يقال عند قبر يا فلان قل لا إله إلا الله 3 مرات يا فلان قل ربي الله والدين الإسلام والنبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. رواه سعيد بن منصور موقوفا وللطبراني نحوه من حديث أبي أمامة مرفوعا مطولا. نارل ضمرة ابن حبيب, who is one of the تابعين, they means the companion, used to consider it, means يستحبون, commendable, to say after the grave is level and the people had left, oh, so and so, say لا إله إلا الله, nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah, 3 times, oh, so and so, say my Rabb is Allah, my religion is Islam, and my prophet is Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Reported by Sa'd ibn Mansur as mawquf, meaning saying of a companion. Saying of a companion or saying of a tabi'i. Here is tabi'i. Because he didn't mention companion. At-Tabarani reported the same by Abu Usama as marfu', attribute to the Prophet ﷺ. This narration, which says when the person is buried and the people, they leave him, say to the dead, O such and such, you name him, O Zayd, O Amr, say La ilaha illallah. You say that 3 times. Say, my Rabb is Allah, my religion is Islam, my Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet is Muhammad. This narration, Sheikh Albani said, da'ifun jiddan, munkar. Some ulama said, mawdu, it's a lie. So it's very weak. And no other narration can support it. So this is not authentic. This is not authentic. Sheikh Fawzan Hafidhullah was asked, and one of the things he mentioned, after he mentioned the chain is not authentic, he said, that time, the action of the person is gone already, it's cut off. Because whatever you tell him, the dead, you think to help him to say the Tawheed, to help him to answer questions, will not benefit him. Because his action is cut off. إذا مات ابن آدم انقطع عمله. By the time the soul departure the soul, he is not increasing any action. Except what he left behind of righteous children, of knowledge, benefit of knowledge, the Muslim dua and the like. So no benefit. Some people, when the dead person he die, the same thing. After he died, before they bury him, they tell him all this information they give to him. Give that before he died, whatever you tell him of, remember Allah, make tasbih, say la ilaha illallah. That's what benefit him. If he say la ilaha illallah, if he say subhanallah, if he write the will, if he say something important before he die. But after he die, his action is finished. وعن بريدة بن الحصيب الأسلمي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So you find the like of this hadith, some Muslims they use it. Some of them because they don't know the ruling. And one of the scholars like Ibn Hajar, he mentioned in his book. The scholars, they mentioned the hadith, different reasons. Sometimes they mention the hadith is weak, and they know it is weak. They mention it for a reason. And sometimes they consider the hadith to be authentic with them, but other scholars find out it's not authentic. So, if here Ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, for instance, he accepted the hadith, if we say that is the case, and other scholars didn't accept it, what should we do? Do we look who has more knowledge, who is specialized in the subject, or what should we do? What? The question is not clear. Osama, what should we do? Here we have Hafidh Ibn Hajar. He is a great scholar. He is greater than Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. Good. So Ibn Hajar, if he say hadith authentic, or Dhahabi says, or Ibn Taymiyyah says, those great ulama. And for instance, Sheikh Ibn Baz or Sheikh Al-Albani says opposite. What should we do? Before that, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, greater than all those, he said the hadith is authentic. Another scholar come after him, he said it's not authentic. What should we do? Muawiyah. You look, how old is the scholar? Okay. Who what? The consensus. There's no consensus, we already mentioned. Barakallahu fiqh. Na'am. Very good. One answer, we look who specialized in hadith. So since Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal specialized in hadith, every hadith he says, we accept it. That's the answer. The other says no. He shakes his head. Okay. Na'am. Okay. Another answer, the hadith is considered weak until it's proved to be authentic. Because this is, you want to take a rule from the hadith. First, it must be firm. Okay. That's a long chapter. But the ulama, they hear, they don't look who is specialized, who is older, who was first, who was later. They don't look these things. What's being looked is the one who say is authentic, is ta'dil, recommended. The one who say it's not authentic, we ask him why it's not authentic. Why? What's the problem? If he specified the problem, he say that narrator is weak because of this and this, and that's proved, then that's what will be accepted. If you say this narrator and that one, they never met together, and he proved that, it's known, then that's what's considered. Yes, because the first one he praised, he says something good, but the other one he defamed because of extra knowledge. He has extra knowledge. Okay, another question. We two brothers, they differ on the ruling of someone. Now, one he say, MashaAllah, he's good Muslim. Another will say he's bad. Who do we accept? We ask the one who say he's bad. Why is he bad? He say he lie, he steal, this is the proof. Then, what do we say? Oh, even though you tell us the proof that he stolen, he lies, but so and so, who we trust in him, he said good about him. Will that benefit? Someone say good about him, will it benefit? It will not. You understand? But if the other thing is the opposite, this person, what he was defamed, is not firm. It's not base. It doesn't have base. When the search was made, he's not a liar, he didn't steal, nothing. It's a lie. Sometimes people lie on them. Now what should be done? The jarh will not be accepted. Has to be established. So is bab jarh al-ta'dil, jarh al-mufassar, al-ta'dil, and ulama they mention in the subject of mustalah al-hadith. So the origin is to put measurement on the claim. And the hadith, first, this being place has to be, the origin is not to accept the hadith, narration, except with conditions. Is this clear? Because the ulama, to accept the narration, they have conditions. Five conditions. These five conditions must be there. What are they? Condition number one. ماذا؟ نعم. The narrator to be trustworthy, religion. He must be not commit a major sin. He shouldn't be a liar. He shouldn't be this. He must be trustworthy. Al-adl fi dinihi. Second, even though he's trustworthy, he may be ignorant. He may be forgetting a lot. He may not memorize. So he has to have knowledge. He has to memorize. Either in his heart or in his book. The ulama have a way to know that. So this is a condition. Second condition, that has to be ittisalu sanad. Whoever he narrated from, he must have met him. He must have met that one. Someone says, I narrated this hadith from so and so. And when research was made, they never met even. Rather, the one he said he narrated from, he died a long time ago. And this is born after that. How can that happen? So there must be a connection of the chain. The fourth, there must be, even though the narrator, his religious wise, is sound, his memorization is sound, the chain is connected. Every narrator narrated from the other one. But this narrator, he differ. Other narrators who are more strong and more firm from him. So, for instance, five tabi'een, they narrate from Sahabi, Abu Huraira. Strong tabi'een, great tabi'een. And one tabi'i, he narrated something opposite to what they narrate. What shall be accepted? The one, the five. Even though this tabi'i is trustworthy, but at the end of the day, he's a human. And that's happened. So they said, ulama hasala minhu wahmun, he mistake. He mistake. So this is called tarjih. Both are authentic, but the information they give is contradictive. It cannot be the same. First is to combine, to collectively accept. If it's impossible, one says, Prophet ﷺ, for instance, he married so-and-so while he was muhrim. تزوج الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو محرم. Another narration, this is Sahih Bukhari, وهو حلال while he is not محرم. It's contradictive. The ulama, they go and they say, let us find. And they found that the narrator, the wife Prophet married, she's the one who saying the Prophet was not muhrim, he was halal. And the other narrator, he's saying he was halal, he was muhrim. Prophet was performing Hajj or Umrah and he married in that state. The ulama, they say, Sahibatul Qissa Adra Biha. The woman who was married, she knows better than someone else. Because this concerns her. She knows when the Prophet married her. Is this understandable? So, that's another condition. The fourth condition, that there shouldn't be hidden. There shouldn't be hidden deficiency. The narrator is trustworthy. The manner, the memorization, is sound. Of course, the narrator is trustworthy. It means two things. It means two things. His religion and his manner. Person may be obedient. May be very obedient. Ibadah, salah, fasting, hajj, sound, aqidah. But he may have what they call khawarim al-muru'ah. Yes. Al-muhim. So the narrator, he can be trustworthy. He memorized, he narrated, oh, the chain is connected. There is no contradictive, other stronger than narration contradicting to it. But still, there may be what's called illa, which means, for instance, mawquf and mursal. One narrator, he says, This narrator, he narrated that this was the statement of a tabi'i. And another one says it's from the sahabi. So the one, when you look, the apparent rule is connected, the sahabi. But the other one is stronger, which is not actually from the sahabi, it's from the tabi'i. Al-Muhim. So this is a condition in order to say the hadith is authentic, this has to be fulfilled. So somebody, if he says it's authentic, the alim who knows the knowledge is accepted. But if another one comes, he says no, it's weak. He should mention the why is it weak. And if he mentioned, then it's accepted. Otherwise, the alim, the scholar of hadith, regardless his status, he mistakes. Therefore, even Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, how many hadiths in his musnad, the scholar, they didn't agree with him. Even some of them, they said, there is mawdu' in the musnad Imam Ahmad, some of them. They mentioned up to 28. But some scholars, they disagree with them. They say, no, it's not mawdu'. Al-Muhim, so whoever taking something as a religion, he has to first affirm it. You have to affirm it. So it's not everything Ibn Hajar said, let us recite Quran on the grave, let us make talqeen, say to the dead, say so and so, because so and so scholar said, it's not sufficient. Others, they say, no, it's not a religion. It's not authentic from Prophet ﷺ. It's an innovation. The rule says, فَإِنْ تَنَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. If you deliver in anything, take it back to Allah, to the messenger. So you have to prove that this is authentic from the messenger ﷺ. Until you prove in it, it's not accepted. So then this has to be. You have to prove that this narrative is religiously worthy, is yani, trustworthy. Mannerly, he is trustworthy. Knowledge, he is trustworthy. That has to be established. After this is established, if someone comes and he say there's deficiency, he has to bring a proof. Otherwise, the statement of the alim is accepted, of saying this is authentic. If he say it's authentic, al-muhim, ala kulli hal, this hadith saying, say to the grave, if the angels come to you so and so, or say la ilaha illallah, and if you are asking this question, answer, it's not authentic. نعم, it's not authentic. وعن بريدة بن الحصيب الأسلمي رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كنت نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور فزوروها رواه مسلم زاد الترمذي فإنها تذكر الآخرة زاد ابن ماجه من حديث ابن مسعود وتزهد في الدنيا نار بريدة بن حصيب حصيب الأسلمي ما الله be pleased with him, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have forbidden you to visit the graves, but you may now visit them. Reported by Muslim. At-Tirmidhi added to the above, for it reminds one about the hereafter, Ibn Majah added from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, and it makes one overlook the worldly pleasures. And it makes one overlook the worldly pleasures. In this hadith, Prophet ﷺ, at the beginning, he forbade to visit the graves. Then later on, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended to do that. Why he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned? It reminded you hereafter. It reminded you hereafter. If you see the grave, you visit, you remember the reality. You remember the reality. We are in deception. Except those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them good heart, so they are alive, they're always mindful, they remember. Otherwise, we forget a lot. So when you visit the grave, you come to know the reality. This person who is in the grave, he was like you. He had the plan you have in this life. He may be younger than you, more healthier than you, more wealthier than you. But he was not asked. Nobody asked him, do you want to die? Rather, he even didn't know it. Some people, they sleep, they never wake up. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Nasallah subhanahu wa ta'ala husnul khatim. They sleep, they never woke up. I remember four in this community. A young boy, a youth, an old and man, a father, and another one. No, one is a female, not the young boy. Astaghfirullah, it's a female. It's his mother. She brought the child to the school, to the weekend school. And when it was duhur time to pick him up, nobody's coming. The house was called. Her daughter pick up the phone, waking up mother. Mother, pick up my brother. Who picking up her? She died. So some people, they die talking. Some people, they drive to go to work, to go to shop, to go to school, to go to wherever. They never come back. Next thing, the family, they hear, he dead already. So when someone remembered this, and then he remembered the grave there, the grave is either a place of joy and happiness, and rahmah and mercy, or is a place of punishment and suffering and torture. There's no third place. There's no. The grave is either a place of happiness and joy, or is a place of punishment. When someone he remembered that, it reminded him the reality. Whatever money you collect, regardless how much you have joy, you have leadership, you have whatever, it perish. And the grave is the ending. What do you prepare for it? So Prophet said, remember, go visit the grave, it reminds you akhir. The ulama they deliver is this ruling, visit the grave. Is it general to both male and female? Or it's only for the male? Next hadith, inshallah. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن زائرات القبور أخرجه الترمذي وصحابه بن حبان. Nari ibn Hurayra, Abu Hurayra radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cursed the woman who visited the graves. At-Tirmidhi reported, and Ibn Hibban graded sahih. In this hadith, the Prophet he forbade the woman who visited the grave. And the other hadith was general. I stop you, I forbade you to visit grave, visit it now. It reminds you akhir. Another hadith, Aisha radiallahu anha said, oh, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if I visit grave, what should I say? Inshallah, hadith will come in Sahih Muslim. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say and so. And other hadith, the people of Nile, they differ. Some of them say, it's legislated for women to visit the grave as long as they avoid the fitna, the wailing, and the like. Because the hadith is general, because Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Messenger, so what should I say if I visit the grave? He sallam told her, even the hadith, same hadith, the man they say it. And Aisha radiallahu anha was based on that she used to visit the grave of her brother. As for the hadith, the woman cursed, Prophet cursed those who visit the grave. They say there is another narration, Zuwarat al Qubur, which means those who visit too much. Not once a while. And some other ulama, they say no. The hadith of the one of visit the grave, it reminds you akhirah, even though generality shows that both male, female, but these other hadith are authentic and it makes exception from the woman. Until now, the ulama, they differ, even our time. Sheikh Mughbil and Sheikh Al-Albani, they see to visit it. Sheikh Ibn Baz and other, they say not to visit it. And likewise before. Hadith number 475 وعن أم عطية رضي الله تعالى عنها عفوا 474 وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لعن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم النائحة والمستمعة أخرجه أبو داود نار إلى أبو سعد أبو سعيد الخدري may Allah be pleased with him, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم curse the wailing women and the women who listen to her. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم curse the wailing women and the women who listen to her. Someone died, a woman, she said, She says, for instance, oh, what a great man who was, or without him, who can survive, or all these things. It's not allowed. So he has some curses, the one who does that, and also the one who listens to it. Now they even make his days to wail. They even rent some women to cry, to make wailing, and they rent. Some women, when that happened, they took off their kerf, their hijab, their khimar off, and they put sand on the head and yelling, you never forget after that. Yes, they do that. But it's not allowed. وعن أم عطية رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت أخذ علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا ننوح متفق عليه. Narrated Umm Atiyah, may Allah be pleased with her. Allah, His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, took a promise from us, means a woman, that we would not wail, means if bereaved, agreed upon. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a covenant with the woman, not to make wailing. Promise that they will not wail. So it's not allowed. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الميت يعذب في قبره بما نيح عليه. الميت يعذب في قبره بما نيح عليه. اتفق عليه ولهما نحوه عن المغيرة بن شعبة رضي الله تعالى عنه. نال ابن عمر may Allah be pleased with him. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said the dead is punished in the grave because of wailing on it. The dead is punished in the grave because of wailing on it. Agree upon. Al-Bukhari and Muslim reported a similar hadith from Al-Mughira ibn Shu'bah. This hadith shows that if someone wail on a dead, that the dead will be punished for that. The people of knowledge, they said, this is when the dead has a reason. He shared, meaning he used to do that before he died. Or he ordered that to be done. Or he knew his family will do that and he didn't tell them. Otherwise, someone who has nothing to do with that, he doesn't like it, he doesn't do it, and he tells his people, don't wait on me, he will not be punished for the action of other people. Because Allah said in Quran, وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَ. No one takes the burden of another one. So, that is when the person, he is the cause. He is the cause. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه قال شهدت بنتا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم تدفن ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جالس عند القبر فرأيت عينيه تدمعان. رواه البخاري. Narrated Anas, may Allah be pleased with him. He said, I witnessed the burial of a daughter of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم was sitting beside the grave, and I saw his eyes shedding tears. And Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting beside the grave, and I saw his eyes shedding tears. Reported by Al-Bukhari. So this shows that when the person shed tears, then this is from the heart. It's because of kindness and mercy for the dead, because of the pain of the heart. But not to say the bad thing, not to do a bad thing. Not wailing, not slapping the face, throwing the clothes, saying bad word things, it's not allowed. Those things are not allowed. As the Prophet ﷺ, he said when his son Ibrahim died, إِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَحْزَنْ وَالْعَيْنَ لَتَدْمَعْ وَإِنَّ الْفِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لمحزونون ولكن لا نقول إلا ما يرضي الله أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Prophet Sallam said, O Ibrahim, the heart grieves and the eyes shed tears. And we miss you, but we are not saying except that which pleases Allah. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.